Saying goodbye to a favorite character or location can be one of the hardest parts of finishing a great read. I'm Lisa Morgan, and today on The Weekly Reader, our book critic Marianne Winnick reviews two new books that give us a chance to revisit some familiar faces and well-loved places. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Lisa. In Crook Manifesto, Pulitzer Prize and National Book Award winner Colson Whitehead recounts the further adventures of furniture dealer Ray Carney, introduced in the Harlem Shuffle, a guy who can't stay out of trouble no matter how hard he tries, though honestly, he's not trying that hard. As this fierce and glorious saga of New York City continues into the 1970s, Carney's determination to get his daughter tickets to see the Jackson Five leads him into a rat's nest of gangsters, crooked cops, and violent black nationalists, from which he emerges only by the skin of his teeth in the last section of the book, set during New York's bicentennial celebration. The middle third chronicles the filming of a blaxploitation film along the lines of Shaft and Superfly, but with a female superhero named Nefertiti at Carney's furniture store. At the helm is a pyromaniac filmmaker named Zippo, who wears snakeskin pants and a megawatt yellow blouse. As Colette Bancroft put it in the Tampa Bay Times, the novel is so vibrant with details of daily life from pop culture to politics in the 1970s that it's startling to remember Whitehead wasn't born until 1969. He continues to be one of our most extraordinary storytellers and observers of the complexity of race in America. And sentence to sentence, his writing is simply gorgeous. If you haven't read The Harlem Shuffle, there are enough continuing characters and plot lines that it would make sense to start there, then continue with Crook Manifesto and wait with the rest of us for Whitehead to take on the 1980s. In 1993, Richard Russo published Nobody's Fool, introducing the lovable misfits, dreamers, and hard cases of the fictional town of North Bath, New York, a blue-collar backwater whose prospects dried up with his hot springs years ago. The central character, Donald Sullivan, known as Sully, a mostly unemployed construction worker and practical joker, became even more unforgettable when played by Paul Newman in the movie, which also starred Philip Seymour Hoffman. Though Sully died in the second installment of the series, the new book, Somebody's Fool, returns to North Bath for a third round of misadventures, tomfoolery, and personal growth. Despite his demise, Sully casts a long shadow over the doings of the remaining population, including his college professor son, Peter, his old sidekick, Rub, his erstwhile nemesis, police chief, Doug Raymer, and his longtime paramour, Ruth, all of whom constantly find themselves recalling Sully's instructions and example. As the book opens, a body is found at the long-shuttered Sans Souci Hotel. Doug Raymer is sent to investigate by his former employee, now his boss, also his on-again, off-again girlfriend, the new chief of police, Charisse Bond. Charisse is attractive and black. While middle-aged Raymer looks, quote, like he and the Pillsbury Doughboy might have a common ancestor, but fortunately, Charisse's twin brother Jerome shows up to tell Raymer a few things he needs to know about the black experience. Bad cops, bigotry, partner violence, nefarious schemes, and confusing therapy sessions aside, by the end of this book, almost all the characters experience significant improvement in their self-concepts, friendship, and circumstances. Russo is a benevolent god, and his version of the good old-fashioned comic novel is the gold standard, full of heart and great storytelling.
The books are Crook Manifesto by Colson Whitehead and Somebody's Fool by Richard Russo. You can find more information about these titles and our podcast at WIPR.org or wherever you get your podcasts. The Weekly Reader podcast is made possible by the Ivy Bookshop. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marianne Winnick.